I had a good Sunday because I saw competitiveness in the NBA All-Star game for a change. I saw Victor Wembanyama, a Frenchman, show up and start off the game with such a level of fervor that the likes of Ant-Man and Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and others felt compelled to answer the call as well. And for the first time in years, we saw actual effort on a basketball court for NBA All-Star Weekend. And that in and of itself is a win. Certainly, there have been All-Star games in the past where the competitive fervor that we were looking for from start to finish wasn't necessarily there. We don't expect that from the players, but what we do expect is for you to show us more effort than we see you showing in summer league when you're just working out and trying to get in shape. We certainly expect to see more than that. And for years, we hadn't gotten that. We got a NBA product that was dismissive towards the league office, that was dismissive towards its fan base, that was dismissive towards advertisers and sponsors that were articulating that they weren't getting anything out of it anyway, so what's the big deal? And somehow, some way, as I had suggested years ago, putting the United States players up against players from other nations, other countries, other continents, etc., would go a long way. And sure enough, due to the presence of Victor Wembanyama, that's exactly what happened last night, because Team USA, the Stars and the Stripes, the young guns and the old heads, handled their business against the international players and reminded everybody where basketball pretty much originated from and ultimately, you know, where it resides. People come to play in the NBA. They don't go from all over the world to play in Europe and beyond at the expense of playing in the NBA. They settle for those places, but the NBA is where they want to be. It's what we needed to see. Is what we were looking for, and it's exactly what we got. Major, major props to Victor Wembanyama for really, really being that spark plug, coming out, scoring the first 7 points, having a couple of blocks, doing the things that he was doing. Make no mistake about it, he was a force to be reckoned with. And I think that when you look at him, you can't just look at, you know, in terms of what his play was. Look at the quotes that he was putting out there prior to the game. Quote, I want to push the great players of this sport to play in the All-Star game just as hard as I will. This is what he had said in January. He said, we'll see how it goes, but if they don't play hard, I'll do it without them. That's what winners are made of. That's what winners are made of, all right? And then when he doubled down on Saturday before the game, saying exclamation point plays, playing in a solid manner, and sharing the ball with energy. This is what he said when he was asked how he planned to set a competitive tone. If you share that energy, people feel like they have a responsibility to share it back to you. And then he backed up immediately within the first 2 minutes. He threw down a dunk, scored Team World's first 7 points, swatted a Jalen Durham attempt in the crowd. And then when they lost in overtime due to a defensive breakdown, he looked totally pissed off. And then you got a guy who's my favorite player in the league. His name is Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. I ain't going to lie. Wemby set the tone. He came out and played hard, so it's hard not to match that. That's what we wanted to see. That's what we needed to see. That's what we ended up seeing. That's what we got for NBA All-Star Weekend. You'd rather see a game, in my estimation, as opposed to, you know, three different teams, just two teams, USA versus the world. Remember, Giannis didn't play yesterday. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's from Canada, who's the reigning league MVP, finals MVP, and NBA champion, he didn't play. But seeing that Shai didn't play, that Giannis didn't play, you still found yourself looking at it and saying, okay, USA still has more players, more all-stars than Europe. Or the world, rather. Hey, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, bump all that. The reality is that you needed to see that. You needed to see what you saw yesterday. Give major, major props to the NBA for coming up with this format and doing what it could to spark some interest. This is not a time to denigrate the NBA product for All-Star Weekend. They actually showed up and were competitive yesterday. I mean, they battled, they hustled on defense, they fought, you know, for calls, they scrapped for rebounds. They did all of that. Give love and respect where it's due. They did what they were supposed to do. Major, major, major props to them, okay? I want to, as the individuals, of course, we mentioned Wemby, we mentioned Ant-Man. Let's not forget to give love to LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi Leonard got out there and showed the hell out and allowed you to fantasize. What if he played that way for the Clippers in the playoffs? what would they be at that particular moment of time? This is a team, Los Angeles Clippers, that started out 6-21 on the season. And they've now won 20 of their last 27 games. And they're 26-28. They're 2 games under .500, and they're vying for a spot in the play-in. Who knows, if not potentially getting to the first round. We don't know how other teams are going to do. They're running out of time, but they're in the mix. And we got to give respect where respect is due. You see that footage right there, Kawhi Leonard, 31 points in the 3 games, 6-7 from three-point range, was flat out balling. Steals, shots, et cetera, hit 11 of the 13 shots. You know, you just found yourself saying, damn, this is the Kawhi Leonard I want to see. Now, don't think for 1 second that's going to get me off track from what I've said on repeatedly, and I'll say it again. He's the worst superstar in the history of sports because he's usually hurt instead of healthy, and he does absolutely, positively nothing to market the game. That was not the Kawhi Leonard I saw last night. The Kawhi Leonard I saw last night was a star among stars, playing like it and celebrating the way you're supposed to be celebrating playing the game of basketball. Because as LeBron James said, they're playing a game. They're playing a game. How could you be unhappy? He gets paid to play the game of basketball. And a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who is an absolute superstar when healthy on the basketball court, it was good to see him out there having fun and rising to the occasion, knowing that the Intuit Dome, the arena where he plays on a night-in, night-out basis representing the Los Angeles Clippers, that's their home court. He knew that he had to show up and answer the call the way stars are supposed to answer the call. You know, in terms of being productive, efficient, effective, but most importantly, aggressive, out there playing like he really, really wanted to be there. And give him mad love and respect for what he did. Now I want to see it come playoff time. I want to see the brother available come playoff time, and I want to see him playing like that come playoff time. There's no James Harden. There's no Zubac. There's no Chris Paul, which I'll get into a little bit later. But there's still Kawhi Leonard. And there's still Ty Lue coaching. And when you got all of that going on, you could do some special things if you're the Los Angeles Clippers. You can do that. And I think that was important to see. I also thought that LeBron James showed up. 15 points, but he played well. You know, and I just want all of this talk to end about, is this going to be his last season? We know better. Unless something catastrophic happens, we know this is not going to be LeBron James' last season. Because the man wants to be celebrated. He wants a tour. He wants a swan song. That's what the hell he wants. We know good and damn well this ain't going to be LeBron James' final season. Let's stop the nonsense. It's not going to be. All right? Because he wants to go from city to city to be celebrated. Now, the question about LeBron James is very, very simple. Do you want to be celebrated because you play in your last year come next year? Or do you want a legitimate shot at the crown? Because the Lakers don't have that. I mean, I know that the combination of LeBron James, Luka Doncic, along with a guy like Austin Reeves can do wonders for you offensively. And they could potentially make some noise. But they ain't winning no damn championship. We can't see that. You know why? Because they can't play a lick of defense. So if you're LeBron James, who's making about $52 million this year with your player opt-in that you exercised, and this is the last year with you as a Laker, and in order for you to stay there in the future, you're going to have to make considerably less money, or you're going to have to go elsewhere. Here's my attitude. If James Harden is still going to be on the Cavaliers next year, if Donovan Mitchell is there, if Mobley is there, if Allen is there, with LeBron James, you win in the championship. You win in the championship. Even at 42, in his 24th season, playing with those brothers in Cleveland as a swan song, to me, that's the great story. LeBron James going back to Cleveland and the Cavaliers winning the championship in his final year, and LeBron James catching Kobe and Tim Duncan with 5 rings. That, to me, is the story. That, to me, is the epic ending to an absolutely, positively illustrious career. But it's still one devoid of perfection. And I'm going to tell you why. Props to the three-point shooters, particularly Damian Lillard and Devin Booker, because that was a hell of a three-point shooting contest. No doubt about it. And it came down to those two. And Dame Tom answered the call. He's out this year with an Achilles tear, but obviously getting healthier. And as a result, you understand, we'll be back next year in Portland, but he's Dame Time. He's special. and he hasn't played this season, but he clearly can shoot. And Devin Booker was in his bag as well. Major props to them, and it was exciting. They need to switch the 3-point contest to being the final contest of Saturday night. It's no longer the slam dunk contest. It's no longer the slam dunk contest. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to acknowledge something that I've never acknowledged in my career because I didn't have to, because it wasn't that kind of thing, because I would never do that before. I did not watch the slam dunk contest this weekend. I did not watch. I'm going to repeat that. I did not watch the slam dunk contest this weekend. I was getting my workout in. I paid no attention to the slam dunk contest. And it's no disrespect to those players. That would be Keyshawn Johnson from the Miami Heat. That would be Carter Bryant with the San Antonio Spurs. That would be Jackson Hayes with the Los Angeles Lakers. That would be Jace Richardson of the Orlando Magic. No disrespect to y'all whatsoever. I applaud your participation. I appreciate y'all being in it. Okay? I paid no attention to it. I didn't watch 1 second of it because I was appalled by the absence of names from the competition. The slam dunk contest used to be must see on Saturday night. From the days of Dr. J. Julius Erving to Michael Jordan going up against Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan winning back-to-back slam dunk championships, to a Vince Carter and a Tracy McGrady, to Tracy McGrady setting it up for his cousin, throwing the ball up, and Vince Carter catching it and throwing it between his leg for a slam dunk contest with Kenny the Jet Smith, saying, it's over. It's over. Let's go home. Let's go home. Because that's what Vince Carter brought to the table.